helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. After the release of his report, Robert Hur testified about it before the House Judiciary Committee. It really should surprise no one that this quote-unquote hearing was more political theater than actual attempt to get to the bottom of the Biden classified document scandal. Both sides took their shots and both sides grandstanded for their supporters. Yet in the middle of all this politicking, a few nuggets of information can hopefully help us understand not only the report, but the motives behind the actions of all involved. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. I am glad you could join me. You know, before we get started, I want to encourage you to head to the website constitutionstudy.com and sign up for one of my mailing lists. I have several to meet all your needs. There's a monthly newsletter. There's my weekly insiders for people who want to know kind of behind the scenes what's going on here at the Constitution Study. There's a daily news digest. And I have to warn you, that's been a little flaky lately. I've been having problems with one of the services I use, and that's been a little odd. But you can always sign up, and as the news does pop out in fits and chunks, you will get them every day. This is the news that I find interesting that I'm considering for the website and for the radio program. And of course, you can always sign up to get posts from the website. When I post articles, videos, interviews, you can get notified, and don't worry about the censorship. So I encourage you to do that. There's been a lot of news coming out about the Hur report and about his recent testimony before the House Judiciary Committee. And, well, you shouldn't be surprised that, it's been politicized. We're talking about the House of Representatives. This is a political body. The Judiciary Committee is just as much a political entity as any other part of the government, so we really shouldn't be surprised. There was some, interesting information came out, some entertaining times during all this, depending on where you sit on this. So what I want to do today is I'm going to start by going through some of the things I found most interesting, and then at the end of that, we'll discuss my opinions of the report and the theater, the hearing. And from that, you can decide, am I right? Am I wrong? Am I crazy? And you can make up your own mind, because that's really what this is all about. So let's start off with this little nugget. And these are in no particular order. I collected these. I kind of tried to organize them somewhat, but we're going to take it kind of off the top of the head. And that's this question of willfully. See, her report claims that President Biden had willfully retained classified documents, both from his time as senator and as vice president. Now, of course, the White House they're disputing the question of willfully. Why is this important? Because, as I understand it, willfully is a portion of the statute. In other words, when Robert Hur, he's a special counsel, he's an attorney, and when he's looking to make a case, apparent willfulness is apparently part of what he needs to make his case. Now, there's another major point, and that is that Joe Biden shared classified information improperly, specifically that he shared a classified information with the ghostwriter of his book, a book, by the way, that he got paid $8 million for. Now, partially because of my history, my family, when I was young, they dealt a lot in the book publishing industry. They were actually book producers. I've obviously written a book, and, when you're a famous person, or if you've got a track record of really great sales of your books, a publisher will basically give you an advance to write a book. That's the $8 million that Joe Biden got. He got an advance to write a book because the publisher believes they're going to make all that back and then some. So that $8 million is not, hey, Joe, write us a book and we'll give us some money. No, it's nothing nefarious about that. But it does allude to the possibility that, well, Joe Biden has a financial interest in writing this book. Because if he doesn't write the book by the deadline, he's got to give the $8 million back. All right, so that's just my little thing. But the question was, did he share this information? Did he even knowingly and willfully share this information, classified information, with the ghostwriter of the book? Now, in his opening statement, Mr. Herr apparently said, we obtained evidence President Biden willfully retained classified information. That's a pretty flat-out statement. Of course, those who are anti-Biden are thrilled with the idea. Yeah, those who are pro-Biden, not so much. However, Mr. Herr concluded that the information was not enough to prove violations beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's the lawyer part coming out, a prosecutor coming out. Because he can't simply say, I know this to be true, or we've got evidence of this. He's got to he will have to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Biden did this. And that's going to come up very important as we get a little farther into this. But back to the documents themselves. So they found documents after Mr. Biden was vice president, when he was a private citizen. Now, there have been a lot of comparisons between the Biden classified document scandal and the Trump classified document scandal. And again, I think I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but let's start with let's start with some facts that were brought out in this hearing. We'll start with a back and forth between one of the members of the committee. I don't know who. I can't see his nameplate in the video, so I apologize for that. But listen to this.
Mr. Herr, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
Okay, so documents are found in Biden's possession in many different places. I want to, the Trump allegation, as I understand so far, there was one location, and that location happened to be his home in Florida, known as Mar-a-Lago. Now, during his time of questioning, Representative Jerry Nadler asked Mr. Herr, at any point in your investigation, do you have any reason to believe that President Biden lied to you? That's a very important question. And in response, Mr. Herr said, I do address in my report one response the president gave to a question we posed to him that we deemed not to be credible. So, of course, that got pounced on. But what's interesting is, including the chairman's Representative Jordan, kind of glommed onto this as motive. You've got the book, you got the question about the you got the question about the ghostwriter, and again, it's not surprising. Remember, this is not a trial, this is a political hearing. So of course all the politicians come out and all of that, but there was a very interesting back and forth between Mr. Getz, Representative Getz, and Mr. Herr. Shouldn't be a surprise. That's kind of Getz is kind of a get right to the point, grandstand a little bit, but listen to this back and forth.
February 8th, the White House. Question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Herr?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie, is just what regular people would say, right?
So here we see the difference between a politician and an attorney. The attorney says, listen, that is inconsistent with the evidence. Right? Very carefully chosen words. I don't fault Mr. Herr for that. But Matt Gaetz says, listen, the average person will call that a lie, wouldn't they? And yeah, Mr. kind of agrees, but then Mr. Gaetz goes on.
So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents in the garage was a damaged open box. So here's what I'm understanding, right? As Mr. Armstrong laid out, you find in your report that the elements of a federal criminal violation are met, but then you apply this senile cooperator theory that because Joe Biden cooperated and the elevator doesn't go to the top floor, you don't think you get a conviction. And I actually think you get to the right answer in that. I don't think Biden should have been charged. Don't think Trump should have been charged. But under the senile cooperator theory, isn't it frustrating that Biden continues to go out and lie about the basic facts of the report that lay out a federal criminal violation?
So Mr. Goetz takes an interesting twist, and it'll be important in a second. He says, well, listen, you know, he refers to it as the senile cooperator defense. And he says, listen, he's not all there. He agrees that neither Trump nor Biden should have been charged. But he goes, why is Trump being investigated and Biden is not? And by the way, Biden is being is still lying to the American people. Isn't it frustrating that he still gets away with lying? Well, probably frustrating to you, Mr. Goetz, maybe not so much to Mr. Herr, but Mr. had an interesting response to Goetz's last question.
Congressman, I need to disagree with at least one thing that you said, which is that I found that all of the elements were met. One of the elements of the relevant mishandling statute is the intent element, and what my report reflects is my judgment that based on the evidence, I would not be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury that that intent element had been
right.
Okay, now this is where I find it interesting, because I was curious that the original reporting that, Mr. Herr wouldn't charge him because, Mr. Biden just isn't all there, that the doddering fool was there. And that was how it was often presented. What Mr. Herr's talking about here is a part of the law, that the law he would have charged Biden under requires intent. Now, he didn't say he didn't find intent. What he said was he wasn't sure he could prove to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that it was the intent of Joe Biden to criminally handle confidential documents. It's a very important little thing. This was one of those interesting nuggets I was talking about, because it showed, again, the media plays it up one way, but you talk to the original source, Mr. Herr himself, he goes, no, it's not that there wasn't intent. I don't think I could prove it to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. So,
but the reason you have that doubt is the senile cooperator theory, the fact that Joe Biden is so inept in responding that you can't prove the intent, which, again, I don't quibble with that conclusion, but it's frustrating to be like, oh, well, this guy's not getting treated the same way as Trump because the elevator's not going to the top floor, so we can't prove intent, while at the same time Biden goes out there at the White House and says, well, he just blatantly lies. And what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Biden's lying because he's still so senile, he hasn't read your report, or whether it's a little craftier and a little more devious and perhaps a little more intentional than we might otherwise think.
So here we're dealing with the politician, right? Mr. Goetz's politician comes out. It's like, I can't prove it, but, it's frustrating that he gets to lie and that he got away with it because he's a senile old man. Maybe he's being a little crafty about it. This is a political grandstanding. Now, he talked a bit about the Penn Biden Center, which I don't really want to get into, but I want to continue this on the other side of the break, because there's another set of questions between Mr. Goetz and Mr. Herr that I think they're revealing. I think they're important to the story, and I want to make sure I have enough time to go through them logically, rationally, and not be rushed. Before I go, though, no matter what you think of General Flynn, he's had a serious impact in this country's recent history. Now, there's a movie coming out, a gripping documentary exploring the life of General Flynn from his time in the U.S. military, his rise through the ranks, to his political stint and as the National Security Advisor. Now, if you'd like to see the movie, attend one of the live events, or just watch it online, or you can check it out at constitutionstudy.com/FlynnMovie, FlynnMovie. Now, as I said, you love the man, hate the man, or like most of us, find yourself somewhere in the middle, it's probably worth your time to see the other side of the story, the side that the media has not presented. And this is a great opportunity to do so. So again, go to constitutionstudy.com/FlynnMovie to find out more and purchase the streaming or live tickets to attend one of the live events of the movie. Now, something else, I don't know if you're like me, but I get to the end of the day and the mind just turns to mud. You know, I'm running around all day and I'm trying to get work done while I still can. And I need a little pick-me-up. And I know a lot of people, they reach for that cup of coffee or an energy drink or something like that. That's not what I do. I don't like all the caffeine. I don't like all the sugar. No, I use Focus and Recall from Healthy Cell. Using just vitamins and supplements, it clears my mind. It lets me get the work done to the end of the day. And it doesn't give me the shitters or the shakes or the drop, the crash when it all wears off. I use this all the time. They come in a travel-ready gel pack, so I've got them in my bag. I've got them wherever I'm going, and they work well. Now, because you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order of Focus and Recall or anything from Healthy Cell. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop to find out all the details. Basically, you put your cart together at Healthy Cell's website, and you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. Find the details. Just find one of the advertisements for like Focus and Recall or any of Healthy Cell's products. It'll take you to the website. You can place your order. You can check out all their great products. But please use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, well, you get 25% off your first order.
Million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. I'm so glad you did. We're looking at the hearing at the House Judiciary Committee, and we're right in the middle of the back and forth, the time for Representative Getz. And I wanted to take the time to deal with this properly, because after some other things, Mr. Getz started getting into the question of the ghostwriter.
Another thing that seemed relevant to me is this ghostwriter, right? So the ghostwriter purposefully deletes this evidence that seems to be like show culpability of Biden's crimes, and you don't charge him. Why did you not charge the ghostwriter with obstructing justice and deleting evidence?
Well, for a number of reasons that are laid out in the report, but in brief, Congressman, yes, when we interviewed the ghostwriter, he did tell us, and I'm trying to get the exact language, that one of the things on his mind, one of the things he was aware of, was that I had been appointed special counsel and was conducting an investigation.
So, once again, Representative Getz is going to jump in and interrupt, but the point that's being made is the ghostwriter, there are transcripts and recordings of the interview the ghostwriter had with Mr. Biden for his book, and apparently when the ghostwriter found out that Mr. Hur had been appointed special counsel, that there was going to be an investigation, he deleted the recordings, the audio recordings. And of course, Mr. Getz is going to jump all over this because it's like, isn't that destroying evidence?
So he didn't, just so everybody knows, the ghostwriter didn't delete the recordings just as a matter of happenstance. Ghostwriter has recordings of Biden making admissions of crimes. He then learns that you've been appointed. He then deletes the information that is the evidence, and you don't charge him.
That is reflected in the report, and one of the reasons...
Like, what does somebody have to do to get charged with obstruction of justice by you? If deleting the evidence of crimes doesn't count, what would meet the standard?
So again, here we see Mr. Getz doing a little bit of grandstanding. He deleted this. He's not allowing Mr. Hur to respond to the question. He's interrupting him in the middle. That's why I said it's grandstanding. But Mr. Hur did actually come back and answer the question. In some ways, I understand Mr. Getz's frustration, but before we deal with that, let's listen to how Mr. Hur responded.
So, Congressman, as we state in the relevant chapter of the report, one of the things that Mr. Zwanitzer did not delete was transcripts of the recordings that he had created that included inculpatory evidence relating to Mr. Biden.
Oh, so if you destroy some evidence, but not other evidence, that somehow absolves you of the evidence you destroy?
So here we have another nugget. So in addition to the audio recordings, there are transcripts of the recordings that still exist, apparently. Now, I understand Mr. Gates's frustration to a certain extent, right? Because it seems that this ghostwriter had... committed obstruction of justice by deleting evidence. The question I would answer, what I'd want to hear from Mr. Hur was not, well, he didn't delete all the evidence, is, was there a statutory reason why this was not obstruction of justice? Was he subpoenaed to retain this information before he destroyed it? My guess is not, because apparently he did it almost immediately upon finding out that Mr. Hur was opening an investigation. I don't know the legal requirements for obstruction of justice. I don't know at what point prior to a subpoena that deleting or destroying evidence is a crime. And I would like to find out. So maybe if there's an attorney out there listening to me that can point me to the relevant statute, I'd love to understand if this, as I believe Mr. Gates is implying, when he says, what have you got to do to get arrested for obstruction of justice, to be charged with obstruction of justice? I recognize his frustration. I just would like a little more detail about it before I go condemning Mr. Hur for his actions. But I think Mr. Gates wraps up his questioning in a way that most Americans, I believe, would not only agree with, but it's what they're looking for.
Like, here's what I see. Zwaniger should have been charged, wasn't. Biden and Trump should have been treated equally, they weren't. And that is the double standard that I think a lot of Americans are concerned about.
Now, one of the main talking points through the Hur report and the hearing had to deal with Biden's memory, the lapses in his memory at the White House, whether at press conferences or during the interviews. And to me, that's an important point. But in it, rather than focusing on that, I mean, I've talked a bit about that, certain examples, and I'm always a little worried about that because they can easily be taken out of context. And sometimes, let's face it, I forget what I had for breakfast this morning. So, you know, my wife will tell you, I'm terrible with remembering names and dates. I recognize people's faces. I have a hard time with names, and I have a really hard time with dates, even very important dates in my life. Not all of them. There's several that I have a hard time. So I'm not willing to condemn a man because he said, I don't remember. There's plenty of other things that Biden has said and done that easily show his mental state. But what really honks me off, what really gets me mad, is not the person that says, well, I don't remember, or, you know, you get a date wrong or a name wrong. Now, what really honks me off is when people intentionally lie to make their point, and then do not allow anybody the chance to actually correct their mistake. For example, Representative Jayapal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Special Counsel Herr, thank you for being here. Thank you for your work. In your investigation, you reviewed more than 7 million documents and conducted 173 interviews of 147 witnesses, including President Biden. Is that correct?
Yes, Congresswoman.
And your 15-month investigation cost several million dollars and resulted in a comprehensive 345-page report with several dozen pages of appendices. Is it correct that, as it says in the first sentence of your executive summary, that your investigation concluded with an assessment that, quote, no criminal charges are warranted in this matter?
Correct.
Okay, so far, so good. Representative Jayapal is asking specific questions from the report. And, well, Mr. Herr's answers are short and to the point. But that's when things change.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Oh, okay. Representative Jayapal now is inferring information not in the report. She's drawing a conclusion. And let's say Mr. Herr doesn't exactly agree, and the interchange doesn't go well.
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of a word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Herr,
that
I'm going to continue
report,
with
that's
my
not
questions.
Part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know
that,
that
I received,
the term
I ultimately reached
I know that
to whether
the term,
sufficient evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know
I
that
did
the
not
term willful retention
report,
has a
Mr.
Herr, it's my time. Thank you.
If there were a meme to this segment, it would be Representative Jayapal putting her fingers in the air going, la, 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 I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I've made my statement, and I'm not going to let anybody contradict my statement. But if you listen through the noise, if you listen through Ms. Jayapal trying to silence the complete answer from Mr. Herr, what you find is this: I never said I exonerated him. I said that never said that there wasn't evidence that he didn't do this, he was not criminally culpable. He says, I couldn't prove it to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. And that became a very interesting topic for another representative, Representative Kiley.
Based on the facts and anticipation of defenses presented in your report, could a reasonable juror have voted to convict?
As I said in the report, some reasonable jurors may have reached the inferences that the government would present in its case in chief.
So a reasonable juror could have voted to convict based on the facts that you presented?
Correct.
The problem is, Mr. Kiley, the job of a prosecutor is not to find a juror that could that could convict, or even a handful of jurors that could convict, but to find an entire jury, all 12 members, that are, let's say, more than likely to convict. So again, politics, the politicking here to me is rather obvious. But there was one other point that came out that you may not have heard of that has been glommed on as, oh, it's a big deal.
So is it correct on that February 5th letter that was sent to you asking you to change references to the president's poor memory? Wasn't there a request by the White House to do that?
There was a request, yes.
By the way, that was Representative Tiffany asking the questions. And of course, oh my God, the president asked for a change in the report, specifically in the statements made about the president's memory. I've seen several people make a big deal about this. It's not been talked about a lot, but I've seen a few, oh my God, he tried to influence the special counsel. Now, again, it started out with, hey, can you use a different word? I don't know the details of the request, but they did ask for it to be worded differently, or the details of the memory not related to the case to be removed. But again, Representative Tiffany went on.
And Mr. Chairman, I think the record should show that the gentleman from Maryland earlier said that that was not the case. I think he said, nor did he seek to redact a single word of HER's report. Obviously, Mr. HER is telling us differently here.
Okay, semantics, you know, details matter. The question is, the other member he was referring to from Maryland said that the White House didn't ask to redact information. That's different from changing parts of the report. So, again, I don't know the details behind it, but Mr. Tiffany obviously is making a big point about this, and I really didn't think much about it until this next statement.
And didn't the White House then go to the Attorney General himself and say that he would like to see changes to the references in regards to the president's memory?
The White House counsel did send such a letter.
See, it's one thing to say we would like to see changes in how you word this, but now he's saying he's asking the Attorney General to ask the special counsel to make these changes. Isn't that kind of against the purpose of a special counsel? Is there not supposed to be influenced by the current administration, by the politics? So that one makes me a little concerned, but on the scale of things, that's not the major item. So I've spent a lot of time going over the information I have from this hearing. Here's where I come down on it. And this is based not just on the hearing, but other things that I've learned about this process. Is there a double standard? Absolutely. Anybody who could look at what's going on here and not see the double standard is either so partisan that they couldn't see the truth if it bit them in the nose, or they're only listening, they're in an echo chamber and only listening to part of the story. Both gentlemen, Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden, took classified information with them after their term of service. They had it as private citizens, and in both cases, I believe, were cooperating with the relevant authorities on its proper disposition. One of them had their home raided, and while the documents in question were under the control of the Secret Service, the other had their information stored in garages and open filing cabinets, and he's getting pampered. All right. The HER report, I think it documents a lot of the malfeasance committed by Mr. Biden over the decades. I am a little concerned that even the attempt to prosecute, even filing charges, was not made simply because it shows a double standard. Again, the claim is, well, we can't charge Biden because he's not all there. The problem is, if he's referring to it as willfully, Was Mr. Biden not there when he was in the Senate and took these documents, when he was a vice president and took these documents? Or is he not all there now? And we don't want to prosecute him because it looks bad. I don't know. To me, that becomes a sentencing issue, not a charging issue. But then again, I'm not an attorney and I don't play one on TV. Now, there was more going on in Congress recently than just this hearing, and I want to get to that after the break. Before I go, though, you know, I got an interesting question the other day. Just what can people do to make things better? And the answer, while it's simple, it's not easy. And that is get educated. Stop waiting for someone else to do something for you. Stop for waiting for someone else to protect your rights. You do it yourself, and you start by learning. Now, obviously, the Constitution study is a great place to start, but another place is to go to AmericaOutloud.news every day. Find the news and information from different viewpoints, from different ideas that you can use to help educate yourself, and then use it to educate friends and family. See, it's not enough to simply gather this information. That knowledge is not powerful until you use it. So whether it's the Constitution study or any of the other compatriots here I have at America Out Loud, check out what's going on every day and then share it. Let other people know that there is future for America if we the people will actually figure it out and do it for ourselves. And I think in midst of all the craziness, it's good to have good news every so often. So here's some good news for you. You have a choice in the matter. You see, you don't have to deal with those companies that are trying to suppress your freedoms of speech and your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider that shares your values. You get the very best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on all the major networks with 100% U.S.-based support. Not only that, Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar earned to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. In fact, this year alone, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. So now is the time. Your cell phone is one way you can stand against the left and help make America great again. Go to patriotmobile.com/constitution and find out how. And be sure to use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation. Patriot Mobile also offers discounts for veterans, first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So again, go to patriotmobile.com/constitution, find out all the details. Be sure to use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation on your phone.
Voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems, and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of five-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, Everyday American Jeffrey. Join the Constitution Study, and well, today I'm trying to find some truths behind the political theater we're inundated with every day. We were talking about the hearing involving Robert Hur's report, but that wasn't the first political theater that we've dealt with in recent years. Anybody remember the January 6th committee? I mean, that was political theater, you know, dialed up to 11. In fact, if some research, parts of that of those hearings are actually professionally produced. They'd use TV producers to put these things on. So it's not new. What has come out that's new, though, is a little bit of, we'll call it prosecutorial chicanery. I know they weren't really prosecutors. I know this wasn't really a legal hearing. It was a political hearing, but you know, there's been lots of talk by the anti-Trumpers about, and the January 6th committee, that there was no evidence to support Donald Trump's claim that the White House wanted 10,000 National Guard troops brought in order to deal with any violence or other problems that may arise on January 6th, 2021. However, Deputy Chief of Staff Anthony Ornato's first interview with the committee, which was transcribed back on January 28th, 2022. In it, he answered a question, I believe, by Liz Cheney, and he told the investigators that he overheard White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows push Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser to request as many National Guard troops as she needed to protect the city. Now, he also testified that President Trump suggested 10,000 troops would be needed to keep the peace at the public rallies and protests scheduled for January 6th. Ornato also described a White House's frustration with then-Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller's slow deployment of assistance on the afternoon of January 6th. Now, does that exonerate Trump for the allegations? Not entirely. But then they have to wonder, why did the January 6th committee suppress this information? Keep the transcript from public view. Why did they continue to characterize it as Donald Trump never requested? There's no evidence he requested National Guard troops when they had it. They had the transcript. When they produced their 800-page final report with what they referred to as transcripts, documents, exhibits, and meticulously sourced information, just left out the statement that evidence, exculpatory evidence, that contradicted their agenda. We're also finding out that fewer than half of the 1,000 interviews the committee claimed it conducted are actually posted on their website for people to see. So you see why I put little stock in what is said at these committees, because they're political interventions, they're political actions, they're not legal, they're not judicial, they're politics, and we need to take anything they say with a grain of salt. Now, probably the other big news recently is that the House passed the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. I love these mouthful titles. It passed by a large 352 to 65. I mean, this wasn't even close. And I've heard a lot of people with some mixed reviews. Now, I haven't read the act in its entirety, so give me a little bit of leeway as I give you my two cents on this whole move. Now, I have concerns on both sides. On the one hand, if TikTok is owned by a foreign company, how it does commerce in the United States would certainly fall under Congress's power with the Commerce Clause. So if the if they are regulating commerce with foreign nations, and TikTok is a foreign owned company, I can see some information. And really, what if I understand it correctly? What the legislation is supposed to do is say that certain countries are labeled by the United States as foreign adversaries, and we don't want them, I don't know if it's say participating in commerce, or is it simply because that the information exchange could have impact on the election or other it gets real sticky, because that's really the problem I see. That's the concern I have. First of all, who's deciding who's an adversary? And second of all, who's deciding who owns and controls the application? And is this really the best and most constitutional way to get to the objective? Now, listen, I refuse to use TikTok, right? Same way I refused to use Google Chrome on my systems because it is known spyware. I refuse to use TikTok because it's known spyware. That's my position, and that's what I take. The problem I have is, when does Congress have the authority to tell me what applications I can and cannot use? And is it simply the fact that the application is controlled by a foreign entity that the government has decided they don't like? So you see my conundrum here. On the one hand, I don't like when Congress says what content is allowed, you're allowed to see. Right? This is often poised as, this is controlling TikTok. It's not simply controlling TikTok. It's controlling what the American people, the apps the American people can see and can use. I find that dangerous. Granted, I find using TikTok dangerous, but, if I believe in liberty, I believe you have the liberty to get your information in a way that's controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. If you want to have your activity spied on, then you have the right to use apps where your activity is spied on. I don't have a problem with the federal government saying you cannot have this on government devices, which might have access to classified information. But we're not talking about the government devices. We're talking about the ability of users in the United States to access this app. But in the bigger picture, there's actually more here. Does that mean that one day Congress can decide, you can't have an iPhone anymore because they're manufactured primarily in China? And of course, the companies in China that are building these things are under the control of the Chinese Communist Party, which is a foreign-controlled foreign adversary. This talks about applications, but if I can do it for applications, why can't I do it for products? Or what if it's not TikTok? What if it's another app? I mean, let's face it. Facebook and X and many of these social media platforms, they also have a large influence. They get a large influence from Communist China. Google is notoriously used their search engine to shield the Chinese people from information the government doesn't want. By extension, that may also shield information from coming out of Communist China. You see what I mean? This seems to me to be a sledgehammer to what may require a scalpel. Now, again, I haven't made up my final mind on this because, one, I know I don't know all the details. All right, I'm giving you my first impressions based on what I've learned so far. And one is, I don't trust the government to determine what I should and should not be allowed to access. Don't trust them a bit. I do understand they have the authority to deal with foreign commerce, but they're not simply dealing with foreign commerce. They're dealing with foreign information. Now, okay, TikTok does business. I'm assuming they have a model where they're making money off of something. And there's certainly enough evidence that the Chinese Communist Party are using TikTok to both gather intelligence and to at least to manipulate the American people, from the simple fact that the content on TikTok in the United States is not anything like the content on TikTok in China. In other words, what they show their people, a lot of the stuff people complain about on TikTok, they prevent from appearing on the Chinese version of TikTok. So there's a whole foreign relations thing in here as well. My guess is this is as much a political move as it is as an actual concern over the American people. I believe it's being pushed in large part by concerns about election interference and other security issues, national security issues. I'm just not sure this is the right way. This may be rushing in, not considering the long-term consequences. That's my two cents. I'm sure if I asked 1,000 people, I'd get 10,000 different ideas about why I'm wrong. I understand that. That's why I preface this with saying it's my opinion based on the information I have at this point. And again, I may be wrong. I may find out more about this bill that I dislike. But I want you to be interested. I want you, as you're hearing news about this, as you're learning about this, I'd like you to think a little bit deeper than, say, the news articles or the news features that you're hearing about just attacking TikTok and those bad people in the Chinese Communist Party. I agree it's there. The question is this the best way of dealing with it? And if you're willing to protect people from intrusion and manipulation from a foreign adversary, what about a domestic adversary? I mean, remember Zuckerberg and his wife, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars to influence the 2020 election. Why is that really any different other than, oh, well, Zuckerberg lives in the U.S., so he can interfere with the election process, but TikTok's owned by a Chinese company. We don't want the Chinese government interfering. We just want but we're happy with the American government. Because remember, FBI, CIA, they were manipulating, they were working with these social media companies to manipulate, among other things, the election. So I guess maybe it's just the federal government doesn't like the competition. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave the American people? Well, as I tell you all the time that knowledge is not power until it's put into action, but you can't put it into action until you actually acquire the knowledge. I go back to the person that asked me, what can we do to retain liberty? And I tell them it's we need to educate ourselves. We need to not simply take information from other people. I'm not saying you don't listen to other people, but that cannot be our sole source of information. We have to take responsibility for our own liberty. And the only way I can see to do that is for us to take responsibility for our own education. Homeschool, public school, private school, doesn't matter where the kids go. They should be, as adults and parents, should be educating them in civics, in the Constitution, in the supreme law of the land. Because the government's not going to do it. And then when we gather that knowledge, we start using it. People tell me all the time that there are things that I cannot do, that the Constitution says I can. I disagree with them. I can do whatever I want, as long as I'm willing to suffer the consequences of the reality of this world. You know, the Constitution says I cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. That means I may have the legal right to stand up to a law enforcement officer that's depriving me of one of my liberty without due process of law. Doesn't mean I'm not going to go to jail. It doesn't mean they're not going to try and prosecute me. But it means I get to decide I decide how I live and how I exercise my rights. And am I willing to suffer those consequences? Now, what I am willing to suffer and what you're willing to suffer are two different things. You have to decide for yourself. So as you look at the hearings, whether it's the J6 hearing, the Robert, the Her meeting, or just this vote on TikTok, decide for yourself. If you think TikTok is a foreign spy app, don't allow TikTok on any of your devices. If you believe that Zuckerberg is using Meta and Facebook to influence your life, or Elon Musk is doing it with X, don't use it. I know they're fun. I know they're great. You know, we have to decide what's more important to us, entertainment or liberty. And I know a lot of people don't put it that way, and they want to have both. They want their cake and eat it too. You can't do that. You have to decide what's more important. And then lastly, support those who are trying to promote liberty. Whether it's a company, I've been talking with several companies that are trying to promote liberty and seeing how we can work together, give you choices to not use your resources for what we would deem as evil. Maybe it's a little more expensive. Maybe it's a little less convenient. But are your rights and liberty worth a little more money and a little less convenience? Are you willing, as the signers of the Declaration of Independence, to pledge your lives, your fortunes, and your sacred honor to the idea of liberty? Only you can decide, because it's we the people that ultimately control the future if we would just realize that and live by it. Now, I hope that includes coming back and joining us for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Or listening to the podcast. The episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. Listen in your favorite podcast app, but please subscribe to the show. Leave us ratings and reviews. That's how you can share that information with others. Find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news, but share them as well. Use that knowledge to generate power by acting on what you hear and see and learn. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how we all share the blessings of liberty.